Good morning. The first few readings we have this morning are readings of encouragement to us. They remind us that God is good. I think too often we hear sermons or homilies or we read scripture and we go, oh, but if God gets mad at me, or what if I do wrong? And we find ourselves maybe seeing God as this ruler who is waiting to correct us with a switch. And I want to tell you this morning, God isn't sitting around waiting to correct you with a switch. God is waiting around to hug you and love you back into the family. And we get that in these scripture readings this morning, that God is merciful, God is good, God has a plan for us. And it's good news, it's not bad news. God doesn't tell us what we've done wrong in our life so that we can be miserable. He tells us what's wrong in our life so we can correct it. It's to bring about right action on our part, and God wants us to have right action, not because he wants to remind us of all the things we've done wrong, but he wants to be able to remind us of the things we've done right. It's all how we choose to look at it. Are we looking at the glass being half empty or half full? We've heard this analogy our whole lives. Are we being optimistic or pessimistic? God is the eternal optimist. If you don't believe that God is eternal optimist, go read the Bible starting in Genesis and get back with me when you get to Revelation. The story of the Old Testament is second and third and fourth and fifth and tenth and 50th opportunities over and over again, because God believes in his creation. God believes that we are inherently good, and God wants to make right what has been made wrong. We don't need to sit ever in fear of God. We need to sit in the rejoicing of the mercy and the grace and the love of God. And so the scriptures this morning, our first and second reading, lead us down this path of understanding that God is just that good. He's far better than we can imagine. And that is good news for us. And it leads us to a life, hopefully, of hope. Not of despair, but a life of hope. And in fact, St. Paul begins the second reading this morning with, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness. If we didn't have weakness, there wouldn't be any need, would there? Now, I'm not saying that we should rejoice in our weakness, but we can acknowledge our weakness and know that God sends His Spirit to take care of the areas of our life where there is weakness. He's there to correct. Again, He's being optimistic. He wants to heal our hurts. He wants to take care of those things in our life that need to be made better in that. And so, this is the lead-in, if you will, to our readings this morning, but they lead us to the gospel reading. As I shared with you last Sunday, we come to this place in the gospels where Jesus teaches in parables. And just get comfortable with parables for a few weeks. We're going to have them for a little while. This is the way that Jesus taught. It's the way that people have taught for thousands of years. But this morning we get several parables. The first one kind of stands alone. And you might notice that the gospel reading began with this first parable. Then it leads us to a couple of other parables. But it ends by coming back and asking a question about that first parable. And we hear this first parable is often referred to as the parable of the wheat and the tares. Most of us don't grow up in a language where tares make sense to us. And I know that for years I went, what in the world is a tare? Is that what happens to my jeans when I play outside too long? They tear. And mom puts a patch on them. And then we have a tear with a patch. It's still a tear. But no, tares in the scriptural reference refers to weeds. So there is wheat and there is weeds. And so Jesus tells this parable that a person goes out and plants a field with good seed. And before the good seed can grow up and take hold, someone comes in and spreads seeds of weed. And the weeds began to sprout with the wheat. And so the workers in the field ask the landowner, should we tear up all the weeds? And he says, no, don't do that. I don't know about your experience with weeds, but here's my experience with weeds. They grow way faster and way stronger than anything else around them. And that's part of this parable. The weeds are growing up, and the workers look and they go, oh, what we see is a field full of weeds. We don't see a field full of wheat. And if we need to make way for the wheat. We need to pull up the weeds. But if you pull up the weeds, they've already grown deeper roots, and when you pull them up, you're also going to pull up the wheat. And now you have a field full of nothing. So in the parable, it says, no, leave them. There will come a time for the harvest, and then we will separate the weeds from the wheat. Now, a lot of people have said, well, we're all the wheat. And we have to be careful in how we analyze this parable for us in our life today. Oh, we're all the wheat, and those weeds are growing up around us. Well, some of us may have been weeds that converted to wheat. And we need to understand that part of this parable too. So when Jesus comes back to tell about the parable, to define the parable, to help understand the parable, he begins to say, well, you know, the landowner is God, and he plants good seed, and the wheat are the faithful, the righteous. Okay, well, I like that part of the story so well. And the person who came in the dark of night to spread the weeds, well, that's the devil and the children of the devil, and the weeds that grew up, those are the unfaithful people. And there's going to come a time, and those things are going to be separated. But it also tells us in this parable that we're going to have to go through life if we are the wheat, and hopefully we are. If you're not, talk to me. We'll see if we can get you converted to the wheat side. You don't have to live your whole life in the weeds. You're allowed to get out. If you'll come to the Lord, He'll convert you. He'll transform you. He does it to so many people in Scripture. It's how Saul became Paul. It's how Simon becomes Peter. I mean, over and over and over. Abram becomes Abraham. We get converted. We go from one side to the other. But in the journey of life, our wheat is going to have to grow next to some weeds. We're going to have to deal with hardships and hard times. We're going to have to deal with people who don't act like we act. And we're going to have to deal with things that aren't fair. I'll never forget, I had a teacher my senior year in high school. And some of you have heard me tell this story before. And God bless her. She's gone home to hopefully to be with the Lord. I don't know what her faith walk was. I hope it was a good faith walk. But back when I was in school, we still took spelling tests. I mean, you still had to study every week, and 15, 20 words, you had to spell them on a piece of paper and turn them in. And so I took the spelling test, I turned it in, and she gave them back. We self-graded. So she gave them back and gave the person to your right, and we graded, and I made a 90 on the test. And I was really shocked because I'd studied really hard for that test. And I looked at it, and I looked at the one that was wrong, and I went, that looks right to me. So I opened up my spelling book and found the word in there. And sure enough, I'd spelled it exactly the same way the book had it. So I went up to Miss Watkins' desk, and I said, Miss Watkins, I got this one right, and it got marked wrong. And she looked at it, and she goes, well, sure, you sure did. I said, good, then I made 100, correct? And she was like, no, you made a 90. I said, but you marked this wrong, and it was actually right. She goes, yeah. And I said, well, that's not fair. And she said, let me help you out a little bit. Life isn't fair, and my job as a teacher is to prepare you for life, so I don't have to be fair. Now, I still think she was wrong. All these years later, I'm still upset about that. You can tell it. That spelling, I have not let go of that spelling test all these years later. I'm still holding on. I want that grade improved. But some of us go through our spiritual life kind of like I went through being a senior in high school taking a spelling test, and we go, but God, life's not fair. Let me go ahead and help you all out right now. Life is not fair. If you're waiting for life to be fair, you're going to live a miserable life, and that's not fair either. But life is not fair. But it's not fair because we're trying to judge it. We're not letting God judge it. We're applying our standard. We're not applying God's standard. And we can take this a lot of different directions, but God loved me so much that He's forgiven my sins and let me be counted among the wheat. I'll be honest with you, that's not fair. But I sure am glad He did it. I sure am glad that He did it. But here's the other thing that we get wrong when we begin to look at life's not fair, and we begin to look at our lives and the analogy of this parable this morning of the wheat and the weeds. And that is, so often we go, oh, so this whole world, this whole image of life, we're going through this journey, and it's this great battle of good and evil, and they are of equal strength. That's a heresy, brothers and sisters. That heresy was denounced in the early centuries of the church. The good and evil are not of equal strength. There is only one great power in this world, and it is God, and He has all authority over all things. That doesn't mean that evil doesn't exist. It means it's not of equal authority. It's not of equal power. It's not of equal strength. If we're on the right side of this equation, and we are, then we stand on the side where the great authority is there. And that's because, and that gets played out in the parable this morning when he says, there will come a time when the weeds and the wheat will be separated, and the weeds will be thrown into the fire and burn up because they're for no good. See, evil doesn't have equal authority. It loses. Good wins. God wins. The authority of God is just. That's where fairness comes in. That's where justice comes in. There will come a point in a time when judgment will fall and God will make the decision. This belongs and this doesn't. That's not our decision to make. That's His decision to make. What is our decision to make is to make sure that we grow up in the wheat. That we live our lives according to the way and the will of God, and we allow Him to impart on us a change of life that makes us holy, that makes us righteous. I can't be holy and righteous. I don't have the power, the ability to be holy and righteous, but God puts His power inside of me, and that's what makes me holy and righteous. And if we all will come to that, then there will come a day when we'll stand there in judgment and God will not have to judge us because we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, I'll tell you, one of my favorite scriptures is found in the Gospels, and Jesus begins to talk about authority and judgment, and He says, "All power and authority over heaven and earth has been given unto me, even judgment." Listen to these next words. "And I choose to judge no one." Jesus doesn't want to judge us. Jesus wants us to come into His love. He wants us to come into His family. He wants to embrace us so that there is no need for judgment. But we have to accept that love. We have to accept that mercy. We have to accept that grace that we might live in His love so that we are no longer wheat and weeds, but rather we are children of the King. We are brothers and sisters who belong to the kingdom itself, where there is no need for judgment because we have been called righteous in the eyes of God through the blood of the cross. Let us celebrate our life in Christ this morning. That He has called us into Himself. That He has gathered us from the field. And even though we might have to live around darkness, we are not in the darkness and we are not of the darkness. We are children of the light. And we are children who are called to live in His love. Amen.